Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
California Uberalis. So here we have one of the top federal judges in America, turning out to be one of the lowest characters in the judicial system, covered up by the media, of course, swept under the rug, leaving out the details that are very important. Because, as you know, the truth is in the details. It's not that he had a personal right to access a computer with pornographic images. If they're legal, they're legal. That's not the issue at all. You know that, and I know that. But, of course, his friends at the local newspaper made it sound as though he was being assailed for his personal the use of his personal computer. That's not the issue at all. The guy is overseeing a major pornography case, and he likes the same kind of disgusting, vile pornography that the human rat that he is apparently judging, the human rat from L.A., makes, defecation, urination tapes. And so he didn't disclose that he likes urination and defecation. Now, you say, well, why are you talking about it? Because, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, everything I have told you about liberals and liberalism is not only true, it's more true than even I believed it was. They're sicker than even I thought they were. They're more devious than I thought they were. And every day it comes out how sick they are and how perverted the system really is. Now, let me tell you something else. For those of you who don't know the difference between reality and fantasy, this is not about a judge's personal tastes and whether or not he has a right to view anything he wants on a computer that's legal. That's not the issue at all. If you were going before a judge in any state of the land, and this show is heard in every state of the land by 8 to 10 million people a week, if any of you were going before a judge on a simple case such as, do you have the right to fly a model airplane in a local park? And it turns out that the judge is a model airplane buff who loves to fly his airplane in a local park, that judge would be forced by law to expose that he is a model airplane activist so that the defense or prosecution could decide whether the judge should recuse himself from the case. But this judge, Mazinski, whatever his name is, I know he's in love with himself, but I don't know his name, Judge Majinski of the Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiels, did not disclose that he himself has a proclivity toward the very same kind of filth that the human rat is producing in Los Angeles. And so therefore, not only should a judge be recused, that's not the issue anymore. The case has already been taken off the docket right now, for now, temporarily suspended because of what the judge was found to have on his computer. No, the judge should be thrown off the bench. I know his name, Kaczynski. I know his name. The whole world knows his name. I also spoke to a woman of a certain age this morning who normally listens to my show, and I said, what did you think of the show? She said, I didn't like it. I said, why? She said, I don't really want to know any more about what this judge looked at. She's very much like my mother and my aunt who are in heaven now, who didn't want to know these things either. And I accept that. Women don't want to hear these things. Women have finer sensibilities than we men do. And so if you're a woman, today is not Women's Wednesday. It's Angry Male Thursday. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the perverted judge in San Francisco. And not just that he should recuse himself, but he should be thrown off the bench. Now, I had an interesting email exchange with a random writer for a local newspaper and website here, where he wrote the article and he left out all of the details of what the judge was looking at. He only put in a few to make it look like the judge was Mr. Innocent and Clean. Now, I never write to these reporters, and I sent them a quick note. I said to the writer, quote, you omitted the judge's enjoyment of images of defecation and urination, but then again, you have to answer to lower powers, don't you? So the so-called writer for the local paper sends me back a note and says, I guess you know more about the judge's enjoyment of it than I do. So then I send him a note and I say, no, it's just that as a phony propagandist, you refused to report what was in the original article you lifted from the LA Times in order to satisfy local tastes, quote unquote. And by the way, I say, tune in today at 3 o'clock to hear your words read to the nation of 8 to 10 million listeners and growing. And he says, I'm always glad to have an audience. And I said to him, it's not your audience. No, it's the Savage Nation. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com is the website, of course, with approximately 2.5 million viewers a month on the website now. It's growing just as the show is growing. The Savage Nation is catching on in a bigger way than it ever did because there's a niche that I'm filling of the independent conservative. And it's not a title that I created yesterday in order to catch an audience. There are other stories. There's another huge story, which is that the Supreme Court today did something shocking. And that is, they said that the Islamo-fascists held in Guantanamo have the same rights as you and I do. Now, on the face of it, you would say, well, that's right, they should. No, you're wrong, they shouldn't. Any nation that is this suicidal will no longer cease to, will cease to exist very shortly. Let me put it to you that way. When a nation puts its liberal sensibilities above its survival, it's finished. Take a look at Israel. Take a look at Israel, what's going on. They're being hit with rockets every day, and their sellout leader, Olmert, refuses to let the Israeli military do what it can do to save the people. The people are being hit by rockets every day by Palestinian terrorists in land that Israel gave to the Palestinians as an act of good faith. And you know what they've gotten for it? Just what I predicted they'd get for it. Death and destruction raining from the sky. And they have a Polish descendant in Israel who looks like the type that would have hid in the tunnels like a rat instead of defending his own people. Instead of having joined the underground, he would have hidden in the cellar and said, don't hit me anymore, Mr. German. How can a nation survive with that kind of mentality? Well, I got news for you. They're not alone. We have the same mentality in this country. You don't have to go any further than Dick Durbin. So the court says detainees have the same rights as do ordinary American citizens. Well, I beg to disagree with this liberal judgment because I will quote a liberal president who found out that detainees in a time of war do not have the same rights as American citizens. I read the case in great detail. It was a case from 1944 when German, I should say Gestapo agents were found in America who had landed. They landed them here in a submarine, I think in Long Island or New Jersey or in both places. They came here to commit sabotage. They were captured, 8 or 9 of them. One was shot. They were tried, but they did not have the same rights as Americans. They were considered enemy combatants. I have the case somewhere. I don't remember the name of it. They were found guilty and they were hung or they were shot. They were not afforded the same rights as an American citizen who they were trying to kill. What sane person would afford an enemy the same rights when you know what they wanted to do to you? These are men who plotted the 9/11 attack on America. So that's another big story. Court says detainees have rights. Local perverted judge, should he be thrown off the bench? The stench from the bench is making me clench. Here's a few other stories. CAIR, the front group, in my opinion, for very dangerous people, has called on their friend Barack Hussein Obama to denounce Islamophobia. The question is, will Obama appoint a member of CAIR to his cabinet? Oh, my God. Is that possible? Yes. Number three, Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick says he's proud of his daughter now that she's come out as a lesbian. Now, hold on for a minute. There's something wrong with that story. There's something very wrong with that story. Is she an Eagle Scout? Did she win some national merit honor? Did she find the cure for polio and win a Presidential Freedom Award? Simply because she lays down with another woman in a gutter somewhere or in a bed, he's proud of her? What is wrong with this country? You know, if I had a gay child, if it a child I had and they're not, but let's say one of my children at some point had said to me, Dad, I'm gay, I would say I love you anyway. That's your business. But I wouldn't come out and say I'm proud of it. What do you mean I'm proud of it? What is there to be proud of? What part of being gay makes you proud? It's a sickness. It's a mental illness, this whole thing. It's a gigantic brainwashing. And here it's coming now from Dave Alpatrick in Massachusetts. The brainwashing. You can accept your daughter. You can love your daughter. Tell me exactly what part of her being a lesbian makes you proud, Mr. Patrick, because I don't understand it. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, and I have many stories that made it to my website today. If you are L.A. obscenity trial halted after Judge Concede's own website had sex images, Mass Governor proud his daughter's gay, feds say that a Virginia Islamic school is teaching hate and violence. Now, to liberals, of course, the only hate and violence is if you hate their protocols of, let us say, perversion. That's the only thing that they find to be hateful. If a Islamic textbook teaches that Jews are pigs and monkeys, that Buddhists and Jews and Christians can be killed, which these textbooks did according to the federal government, they would defend them. They would defend them because liberalism is a mental disorder. Here's another story that didn't make it to your local paper, and for reasons you'll figure out. You know, in Zimbabwe, there's a murderer, a madman, a Hitler named Mugabe. He was voted out of office, but now he's killing the opposition. The impotent, worthless child molesters at the UN are doing nothing. And his goons have burnt the opponent's wife alive. There's an opposition party in Africa, in Zimbabwe, that won the election fair and square. This murderer, Mugabe, has sent his goons into her house. They grabbed her out of her house. They chopped off one of her hands and both of her feet. Then they threw into her hut a petrol bomb through the window and set her hut on fire. This is in Africa. And the UN, the impotent, worthless, degenerate United Nations does nothing. That's in Zimbabwe. A once great nation when it was Rhodesia has turned into a killing field under local rule under Mugabe. Alice in San Diego, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's a privilege to talk to you. You are a voice crying out in the wilderness. A righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people, and you're hitting everything right on the head, what's wrong with our nation. I'm 81 years old, and I've seen how this nation has just regressed into idiocy in their policies. And
yes,
I just thank you so much.
You have the voice of a much younger woman. Your mind is very sharp, Alice, and you do see the arc of degeneracy. You see where it's gone, and whether we can pull out of this dive is a matter of question. The plane is heading right to the ground. And whether we're ever going to get a pilot who can pull the controls and pull us back up is a question. I know that Obama's no pilot. That I can guarantee you.
Well, God's judgment is coming on our nations for all the wrong things we are doing. We've betrayed Israel. We are godless. We say we can't even put in God we trust anymore.
And Alice, so, what do you think about a federal judge overseeing a perverted guy from L.A. who makes vile pornography and he doesn't disclose, the judge doesn't disclose, that he looks at this stuff himself? What does that say to you?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Michael. You're just a light in the dark.
All right. Well, at least you like me. At least one woman in America does. Chicago, Vince, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, what if Obama appoints somebody from CARE to the Supreme Court, we'd never get rid of him?
You mean like one of the lawyers who's attacking me here, who took the case pro bono on behalf of CARE? One of the good liberal lawyers gets a reward from Obama, and this lawyer is taken from a firm in San Francisco and put on the U.S. Supreme Court or a federal bench for the good work of attacking Michael Savage? You mean something like that?
Yeah, something like this, someone like that, ACLU lawyers. I mean, I don't trust Obama picking a lawyer for anything with his left-wing ways.
Well, Clinton put the head of the ACLU legal department, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, on the Supreme Court, and the Republicans said nothing. We've been saddled with that witch for 30 years now or more, that monstrous left-wing maniac.
And
thank
sure
you for the call. No, of course it would be much worse. Portland, Oregon. Harry, you're on the Savage Nation topic. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I just wanted to remind your listeners that during the Second World War, we had German prisoners that came here on trains to prisons in Alabama, and they stayed here. They never enjoyed, they never were given rights.
That's correct. They were considered enemy combatants, and I forget the exact name of the case. I have it on file somewhere, where a liberal president, very liberal president, FDR, ruled that they are not entitled to the same constitutional protections as American citizens. And yet here in our time right now, people who planned the attacks on 9/11 are being given the same exact protections as an ordinary American citizen.
Exactly.
Okay, my friend, we see the truth. And we wait and we wait and we wait for somebody to come and let us exhale. Finally exhale. I mean, I've been waiting to exhale for a long time now. I can't exhale, not with what's waiting on the horizon. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Here are some other stories on michaelsavage.com. Let's see the other stories. Code Stinko co-founder is Obama fundraising bundler. One of the fetid women who rush into Congress screaming and yelling like hysterical witches, it turns out, is Obama's fundraising bundler. She should be in prison, but then again, we have geldings running Congress. Not men. We have geldings in Congress. Here's another one. Hispanic Democrats to Obama. Amnesty or else. How about or else? Would you like or else? Because I'll give you or else. You're not entitled to amnesty for 30 million illegal aliens. This is not Mexico's country. This is America. We have our own laws. You can't break into a house and say, now it's my house. What are you people, nuts? Well, we understand it's our country, but our geldings apparently don't. Our Dick Durbins don't understand this is America, owned by us, lock, stock, and barrel, not owned by that sellout bum. Here's another story about your wonderful illegal aliens. Illegal alien runs over and kills a six-year-old girl. And he reentered the country illegally after being deported to, no, not Ireland, no, not Italy, no, not Great Britain, no, he was not deported to Germany, he had come in from Mexico. He was deported in February. He came back and the drunk pig ran over and killed a little six-year-old girl in Milwaukee. Ran her over and killed her because, you see, drunk driving is a national hobby in certain countries. The police are corrupt, so they don't look for these things. They're interested in big deals like drug deals. So drunk driving becomes a national sport. And that's one of the benefits of importing the third world.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Many stories, many topics. It is the news of the day that we're talking about. I don't know what you want to talk about. The lines are full for a change, and we're all over the map. It's not going to be one particular topic or another. I think that the judge story, although it's a huge story because it goes to the heart of judicial activism, judicial perversion, the stench from the bench is making us clench, the arrogance of office, the fact that there are no consequences to this kind of behavior. If you at work were found to have downloaded pictures of women dressed up as cows, or of defecation, or of urination, or of naked men with farm animals who are aroused, do you think you'd have your job the next day? Of course you wouldn't. Even if they're legal. Even if those images are legal, which unfortunately they probably are in our sick society. But if you were at work and your computer at work had those images, you'd be fired instantly. You'd probably never work again. But this judge, Kaczynski, is above the law because he is the law. There was a Roman satirist 2,000 years ago by the name of Juvenal, and I don't mean juvenile, Juvenal, who wrote something which I'll butcher because I don't remember the Latin. But it was something along the lines of who will judge the judges. I have the Latin phrase somewhere. I don't remember it right now. Who will judge the judges? And, of course, he wrote it another way. He said, who will guard the guardians? Who is going to guard our judges? How come there is no one overseeing the judges? How come there's nobody looking at judicial behavior of this sort? Well, we the people are. We're judging the judge. And what's going to happen as a result is probably nothing because there is no opposition party. See, in a healthy democracy, there are two parties that compete with each other for the satisfaction and will of the people. We have ceased to be a two-party system government. We are a one-party oligarchy with two faces of one party. I named it 15 years ago, the Demokins or Republicrats. It's worse than it ever was. If we had a legitimate two-party system, the Republicans would be screaming for this judge to be fired. But you know why they're not screaming for this judge to be stepping down? Because he was appointed by God himself, Ronald Reagan. And therefore, anything Ronald Reagan did must be excellent. Because he's such a wonderful conservative, he can look at naked men with aroused farm animals. Gary in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for welcoming me to the Savage Nation. Thank you for your very hard work. We are in our home, think of you as a great-grandfather, a professor. We memorize such things as Cicero and the enemy within and the other things that you've taught us. We only hope that the work that you do will bear some fruit and save this country, because we see, as you do, that it's suicidal, and we don't hold out much hope.
How much more suicidal can it get than a Supreme Court that's allegedly conservative voting to give terrorists who plotted 9/11 the same constitutional rights as you and I? Tell me what nation can survive.
Exactly.
Well, thank you for the call. You see, Marcus Tullius Cicero wrote this in 42 BC, and I may as well read it again. It's from my book, The Enemy Within. A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. This is directed to all of you progressives, because if it was up to me, I'd put you, well, I'll stop right there. But a nation cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims and wears their face in their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. Marcus Tullius Cicero, Roman orator and statesman, 42 BC. He was writing about Dick Durbin, Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, and all of the other pack of vultures from liberal hell. Tim, Maryland, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael.
Yes.
I'd like to ask you, who in the country is able to get us out of this tailspin that we're in right now morally, if anyone?
Well, I think it would take Jesus himself to save this country. I mean, you need the second coming to save the country. I don't see anybody out there in the political arena. Do you?
No, I don't. And, you know, even more scary is I don't even see anybody, any outrage in either party on either side.
No, there's no outrage anymore over anything. You got a perverted judge looking at pictures of women walking around on all fours, and no one says a word. It wasn't even a burp in the system. Nothing. And he's overseeing a big porno trial. Why is that? Because Congress is bought out by the porno industry. Who is the porno industry? Verizon, AT&T, Time Warner. They have lobbyists who are probably sitting right now having a cigar with the congressman. So they're not going to say anything. How much worse does it get than the computers in our congress, in our offices in Congress, were hacked by the Chinese military? The few brave congressmen. Did you see that story on my website yesterday, by any chance, Tim? There are a few congressmen, one Democrat, one Republican, who were disclosing about human rights abuses in China. The Chinese military hacked their computers from China right into Congress. And the congressmen said they were told inside Congress not to say anything about it. They were told to hush the story. What does that tell you, Tim?
I think we're in moral decline, and I don't think there's any way out of it right now. I think you're right. I think it's very, very bad.
We're way beyond moral decline. We have traitors sitting inside Congress. They've all been bought off like cheap prostitutes, with the exception of a few men who are telling us that even they can do nothing, that they're powerless. Foreign powers have bought our congressmen like cheap hookers. Thanks for the call. I came back on my boat from the boatyard today, out through a harbor. I look and see a big, big ship, again from China, and I see conveyor belts taking in certain things from America onto the ship. Were they taking our cars? No. Was it boxes of televisions, containers full of televisions? No. You know what it was? China is taking all of our scrap metal. China is taking all of our scrap metal, in conveyor belt loads and ship loads and taking them out of America and sending it back to China and producing tanks, planes, and ships and missiles and bombs with our scrap metal. It is a repeat of the 1930s. I know exactly what I'm talking about. In the 1930s, Japan was rearming. There were people in America who said, watch out, Japan and Germany are rearming. They were called every name under the sun by the liberal quisling vermin who wanted to hide like ostriches under the covers. They called everybody who said, watch out, Japan is rearming. Watch out, Germany is rearming. They were called warmongers. They were called every name under the sun, just as I'm called every name under the sun. But I'm in very good company. Winston Churchill tried to warn the English, and he went around the left wing, and he made sure the British were building the Spitfire airplane and made sure Britain was building ships, capital ships, because he saw the winds of war. China is going to go to war with America in your lifetime. They have been planning this for a long time. But they're smarter than the vermin that we have running things. The Chinese military has been around a very long time, psychologically a long time. Let me put it to you that way. And they understand Lao Tzu very well. They also understand the art of war very well. And they also understand that the ultimate war is fought without firing a shot. They're fighting a war without firing a single shot. They're hacking our computers in. They're hacking our Pentagon computers. They're hacking our computers of congressmen who are disclosing the human rights abuses. And people inside government are telling congressmen to shut their mouths and not talk about it. Now, why would they tell congressmen not to disclose that the Chinese government is hacking their computers? Because war profiteers, traitors are doing business with China, and they understand one thing, business uber alles. Business uber alles. The almighty dollar, the bottom line, it will get us all killed. Play California Uberalis, and I'll take it back in a minute. I need to rest a second. Go ahead.
California Uberalis, California, oh, Uberalis, California, Uberalis,
California. So here's the saying from Juvenal, the Roman poet Juvenal. And I'm terrible at pronouncing Latin, unless it's Botanica Latin, which I'm an expert at. Quies custodiet ipsos custodis. Now, if you're a Latin expert, correct me, and I don't mind if I get something wrong and I admit it right up front. But it means, what does it mean? It means who watches the watchmen? Who watches the watchers? Who will guard the guards? Who shall watch the watchers themselves? Or who shall watch perverted fat judges in San Francisco if there are no judges watching fat perverted judges who like to see women dressed up as cows and enjoy watching farm animals with erections? So that's it. Who's going to guard the who's going to judge the judges? Who will protect us against the protectors? The answer is nobody. That's the problem with a democracy. And that's why we are dying as a nation. Democracy is a failed system. It has shown itself to be circular and incapable of defending itself. And the solution, of course, is a sort of powerful autocratic figure in America. He would be the only one who could save this country. And it's liable to be the left-wing fanatic Obama, because McCain is such a terrible candidate, because he is being sabotaged from within. I could run McCain's campaign from right now. If I were to be given McCain's campaign from July 1, he would win. He'd have to change everything overnight. But right now he's being sabotaged by former Democrats who are running this poor sucker into the ground. And I'm surprised that Cindy doesn't know it. I'm surprised that John McCain's mother doesn't know it. John McCain's mother was married to an admiral. She would know what's going on. She's probably a big fan of this show. I have nothing against John McCain. I'm trying to warn John McCain that he's being set up and sold out by his own managers in so many different ways. And every day the man says something that drives his own audience away. I know how McCain could win, and he could save this country. He actually could do it. There's something in him that could save this country. The original guy who enlisted in the Navy, the original guy who flew Phantom jets off carriers, the original guy who lived through 5 years of torture at the hands of the wonderful Vietnamese, is the man who could save this country. It certainly isn't the questionable Marxist from Chicago. New York, John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I may agree with you on, 98.99999% of everything you say. It's unfortunate. I've never met somebody that I agree with as much as I agree with you.
That's a shame.
See this as being the biggest radical thing to happen by in the Supreme Court by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I think our whole court system is that crazy that this doesn't seem that out of sort of proportion with other things. But, you know, to a certain extent, you know, what were they really going to accomplish? Let's say they didn't give him these rights. What were they really going to accomplish against these guys in a court?
Let me explain what's behind why these liberals wanted Guantanamo detainees to have full rights and a full trial. It's not to give them the rights. It's to embarrass Republicans. The fools in this country think that it's a game of gotcha. And it's the Democrats trying to embarrass the Republicans in time for the election and show that the war was illegal and this and that. That's all they want here. That's all they really are after. But the subtext of it is they're going to give people who planned 9/11 rights they are not entitled to.
Hello.
Yeah, that's my opinion. That's why they did this. That's why guys like Dick Durbin, Turban Durbin, and Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein and the Kennedys of the world, that's why they're in favor of rights for Guantanamo detainees. It's not so much that they care about the detainees, is they figure the trial can be used as a podium to attack Republicans and George Bush. Thank you. San Francisco Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
My topic, Michael, is that every night I walk my dogs in Redwood City, and I have been invited aboard one of those Chinese ships. And I was astonished to find out, Mike, that there are two ships a week that leave the Redwood City dock. Almost every abandoned and ground-up automobile from Northern Kentucky or from Northern California winds up at that shipyard. It's turned into cornflake-sized chunks and spit into the hulls of these Chinese ships, which take it to be smelted down in China. And it's much less expensive than ore, and there seems to be an almost unlimited supply.
Do you know that the Chinese are returning material to this country in the form of finished products that cost less than they're paying for the scrap metal? And they're doing it in order to drive us out of the steelmaking business because they've studied history, and they know that whichever country can make more steel wins the war.
Michael, the captain of the ship...
Joe, listen, I know more than the Congress does. I've studied almost every war. Whoever made more steel won every war. Right now, the Chinese are trying to drive us out of the steel business. They're funding environmental groups to close down even more steel factories. They're trying to cripple us from within, and they're using these liberal vermin to do it to us.
They are, Michael. I can see it happening.
Joe, I see it, but let's go back to the scrap ships. You're talking about one city, two ships a week. So I'm in Richmond Harbor. I see another ship now loaded up with scrap. You go to Alameda. There's probably 10 ships a week going out. They're spitting in, the conveyor belts are spitting scrap off railroad cars coming in. Now, let's go down around America. You think this isn't happening in Seattle? Probably. Long Beach? Probably. Corpus Christi? Probably. Ports on the East Coast? Probably. They're sucking us dry of our scrap metal. And we are not understanding that the Japanese did the very same thing in the 1930s, and they were using the scrap metal to do what, Joe?
Yes, to build armaments to use against us.
Right. In the 1930s, the New York City city fathers decided to take down the 3rd Avenue elevated train line, called the 3rd Avenue L. It was made of steel. The buyer, Japan. They took the 3rd Avenue L over to Japan in ships. They melted it down and turned it into airplanes and into tanks, into bayonets and into bullets and into torpedoes. And our American blood went out into the Pacific, and they were being killed by steel products made from the 3rd Avenue L. This is what's going on today, Joe. And the people in this business should be held up as traitors, and they should be shot as far as I'm concerned. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I guess we have a misfire for a change. We were going to play President Bush saying that he disagrees with the Supreme Court's ruling, but he will abide by it, which is actually, I agree with him 100% on this. Do you have that ready to go yet? If you do, just play it at any time if
First
you can't
of all,
find
the
it.
Supreme Court decision, we'll abide by the court's decision. That doesn't mean I have to agree with it. It was a deeply divided court, and I strongly agree with those who dissented that their dissent was based upon their serious concerns about U.S. national security. Congress and the administration worked very carefully on a piece of legislation that set...
I cut it off already. I can't listen to that anymore. I get to the point already. Even when I agree with him, I get tortured. The man is right. He'll abide, but he has to. Separation of powers. Understand that. That's how our system works. But the Supreme Court giving the rights to detainees in Guantanamo that are equal to U.S. citizens is an outrage of the high, at the highest level. It just shows you what Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a former counsel for the ACLU, still doing damage to this country in her waning years. Her and the other leftists on the court trying to harm this country as deeply as she can, cutting the last sinews of manhood out of this country. Houston, Texas. Larry, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, I can't breathe. I'm having a heart attack. I don't know what to do. You know, our representatives are elitist misanthropes that only care for themselves. We can't drill. We can't get oil. Other companies are countries are taking over. I told my wife this.
China is drilling 80 miles off the coast of Florida in the Gulf of Mexico, and that sad sack Brooklynite Barbara Boxer screams from her toilet seat that she wants to protect the environment, that Harridan.
Right, you've got me so mad. This is what I told my wife we have to do in the next 3 years. I'm either going to have to become a liberal, join the government, and suck every penny I can out of there just like the rest of them, or I'm going to pick my butt up, and I'm very serious. I'm moving to Australia. Tell me where to move. I'm going somewhere else because the big war is coming, and I don't want to be here.
Well, I have no answer to that question, Larry. We all fear that China will strike us, but they're never going to strike us with nuclear weapons. That's not how they're going to operate. What they would rather do is inherit the entire nation and all of its wealth and use the people as slaves and as sex slaves. Now, you may say I'm a madman, but I have read enough of the Chinese military strategy and of the writings of some of the Chinese generals to tell you that is exactly their strategy. Use the American women as sex slaves and take the men into captivity.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
In retrospect, if you're a social observer as I am, the punkers were actually patriots who saw what was going on and what was coming. They were confused as the decadent leading the decline when, in fact, they were just the harbingers or the poets defining the decline. This is the Savage Nation. Welcome to the program. Today, of course, is one of the greatest blows against our safety that has ever been seen in the history of this nation. A group of left-wing radicals on the U.S. Supreme Court led by Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a woman who never should have been permitted to be on the Supreme Court. She worked for the ACLU. She was put on the Supreme Court, joined with Justice Anthony Kennedy. And in a 5-4 decision of the U.S. Supreme Court, these morons have said that terrorists held at Guantanamo Bay in Cuba have the right to appeal to U.S. civilian courts to challenge their imprisonment without charges. This idiot, Kennedy said, quote, "The laws and Constitution are designed to survive and remain in force in extraordinary times." That is outrageously false, because we had extraordinary times before, which are a precedent for these extraordinary times. And that was in 1944, 43. The Germans were sending agents here in submarines to perform sabotage at our defense plants, to sink ships and harbors. And they were caught. They were not afforded civilian trials. They were given military trials. They were found guilty and they were hung. Kennedy knows that, but he is the enemy within. Justice Kennedy, Justice Ginsburg, don't you have grandchildren? Don't you have grandchildren, you left-wing rats? Don't you understand what you're doing to their chances for survival, you left-wing vermin, you? In a blistering dissent, Justice Antonin Scalia said, "The decision will make the war harder on us. It will almost certainly cause more Americans to be killed." Scalia is right. Kennedy, the judge, said federal judges could ultimately order some detainees to be released. You hear this? Be released. Can you believe this? This decision by these left-wing ACLU radicals on the Supreme Court, including perverts, perverts, outright perverts, has cast doubt on the future of the military war crimes trials that 19 detainees, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and four other alleged September 11th plotters, are facing so far. They may be released. They may go back to their home countries, and they may continue to plot and kill Americans. And who will you blame then? Who would you blame then? Now, who is doing this to us? Would you like to hear some of the names of the lawyers who ran down as fast as they could on Greyhound buses from New York City to defend these people who would slash their throats and throw them down a well? Here's one. James Cohen, a Fordham University law professor who has two clients, and I puke when I say the word clients, at Guantanamo. James Cohen proudly said, "Nothing is going to happen between June 12th and January 20th when the next president takes office," Cohen said. He said that Bush will not release anybody. James Cohen, a Fordham University law professor who has two clients at Guantanamo, is one of the scummy lawyers who used his legal genius to make this happen. Now, I could say things now that I'm not going to say, but you know what I want to say, and I'm sure many of you are reading my mind. Why would somebody with a Jewish surname defend a man who is committed to killing Jews? Why would a man with a Jewish surname, Mr. Cohen, spend all of his legal genius defending men who would cut their wives' throats and their mothers' throats and throw them down a well? Only God can answer that question. I can't. I can only ask the question. Now, you can get mad at me for asking the question. That's your problem. It's not mine. It's not my problem that we have insane lawyers in this country. The lawyer for Salim Ahmed Hamdan, Osama bin Laden's one-time driver and bodyguard, said he will seek immediate dismissal of the charges against Hamdan based on the new ruling. I rest my case. I rest my case. It's impossible for me to believe I'm living in this country. But then again, if we saw yesterday that we have the chief judge on one of the highest federal judges watches pornographic imagery on his own computer, which includes images of erect animals with nude men, women made to be painted like cows, people defecating and urinating. Would you expect anything more from law professors at Fordham and NYU who ran with glee? They couldn't wait to get down there to defend these Muslim terrorists. Why is that? Why would liberal lawyers almost break their ankles running down to Guantanamo to defend these vermin who are involved in plotting and wanting to kill us? Can anyone explain that to me? Can somebody explain that to me? Explain to me why they would want to defend them when they know these people are going to go back to Afghanistan or to Iran or to Pakistan and plot to kill us. Tell me why they would do this. Can anyone explain this to me? Now, don't give me the double talk and the liberal rubbish that if we don't give them the constitutional rights, it might be me tomorrow in Guantanamo. No, it might be you tomorrow in Guantanamo for what you're doing to this country. It would never be me in Guantanamo. It would be you for conspiring with these throat cutters. It wouldn't be me. But you see, it's the power of the judiciary that is the problem. A democracy like ours was fragile to begin with. And of course, we see it's failing us. We know that the modern democracy like ours was set up with the separation of powers, so that ultimate power would never be granted to one group. We have three different groups. We have the executive, the legislative, and the judicial. And each is in conflict with the other. They're supposed to compete with each other for power. And each group then finds in its best interest to impede the functioning of the rest. And that supposedly will keep the ultimate power under constant struggle, and therefore out of the hands of any one group. So these rats from Fordham Law, NYU Law, Harvard Law, Princeton Law, whatever, they would rather see terrorists go free than grant 1 ounce of respect to George Bush. You understand that? These are the people who would rather see children molested than impede child pornography on the internet. Our problem, my friends, is not with our system. It's with the mentally deranged drug addicts in the courts, the mentally deranged drug addicts in the law profession, the mentally deranged drug addicts in the American Trial Lawyers Association, the mentally deranged drug addicts who have infested the legal system that was once a great legal system and have destroyed it and pulled it down. This is a very big day for you. You may not know that. You don't have any idea how big a day it is. It's a huge day. Quies custodiet ipsos custodes. Pardon my Latin. Who will guard the guards? Who shall watch the watchers themselves? Who shall judge the judges? The answer is you will, my friends. It's your country. Take it back from the drug addicts. Take it back from the perverts. Take it back from the communists. Take it back from the enemies of this country, or you will have no nation. This is Michael Savage. I approve of my monologue. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, here's a story just came out minutes ago. Judge wants panel to investigate his porn postings. A federal judge who reportedly posted pornographic images on his personal website is now calling for an investigation of his own conduct. Judge Alex Kaczynski says he has asked a court ethics panel. Let me pause right there because that's an oxymoron. A court ethics panel? Now, a court ethics panel would be me and ordinary citizens. It wouldn't be judges that you do business with, would it, Judge Kaczynski? A court ethics panel, he wants to initiate proceedings after the L.A. Times reported that he has posted lewd photos and videos on a public accessible website. Kaczynski said today he will cooperate in the investigation. Kaczynski is the chief judge, so-called, of the so-called 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. He is presiding over a pornographic obscenity case, but the trial has been put on hold until Monday. Ha! A court ethics panel he wants to initiate proceedings and then look into his ethics? That is outrageous. That's just an outrage. He thinks he's going to fool us with this? He needs to be thrown off the bench immediately. Right off the bench. Gone. San Antonio, it's the judges, stupid. Randy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I am outraged. As a disabled veteran of the United States Armed Forces, President Bush better get some cojones, and he better order a writ of arrest, and he should throw the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court and the five...
No, not the Chief Justice. He should throw Kennedy of the Supreme Court. He should throw Souter of the Supreme Court. He should throw Ginsburg of the Supreme Court into jail. There is a precedent for arresting maniac Supreme Court justices who are out of control.
All those who voted in favor of giving non-citizens of the United States constitutional rights should be thrown in jail and should be removed from their post. If they're
you are 1,000% correct, and there is a precedent for this. Abraham Lincoln is the precedent, is the president who did this. And George Bush has the power and the authority to take these rabid Mad Dog ACLU lawyers on the Supreme Court and put them in prison. They're endangering my life, damn it. I would back that 100%. Put Kennedy, Souter, Ginsburg, and the others into prison. Put them in jail before they kill us all.
We have gone beyond a constitutional crisis. We are now on the verge of a constitutional meltdown. Their decision today was seditious in nature. It was paramount to suggesting inservile insurrection, and it was treasonous. They should be removed. It is time that this government go back to the people. It needs to go there before we...
Randy, where were you injured in which war?
I served during the Gulf War. I did not get deployed. I was sustained in injuries during my training.
Well, that's all right. I mean, you still sustained your injuries. The point doesn't even... It's not matter whether you're injured or not. It just adds fuel to the fire of why you're outraged. And I thank you for calling the Savage Nation. San Francisco, Ted, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, isn't it under our former government we're supposed to be able to impeach judges?
We the sheeple have no power whatsoever. No, it's our congressional representatives who have the power to impeach judges. Now, do you actually think, you live in San Francisco, that your congresswoman would impeach this judge?
Well, Mike, I'd like to see it.
Your congresswoman is Nancy Pelosi. Do you think she's going to impeach her good friend Judge Kaczynski?
I'd like to see him impeached. I mean, I have a mother, I have a sister, I have a daughter. To have that kind of stuff posted on any internet site is a humiliating thing, and it's offensive to me. And I just can't see how can someone in a trusted responsibility would do something like that. It reminds me of that other case that was a federal prosecutor flies to Chicago to go have sex with a child. I'd like to know what's the follow-up on that case. And this continued violation of trust is just getting to me, Mike. I don't know what to do.
Well, Ted, it's getting to all of us. When we see a judge who's overseeing a – it's not that he's just a judge who's looking at porno on the website. That's legal, by the way. A, it's the kind of images he's looking at that are particularly vile, as reported by the LA Times. And B, he was presiding over a case to do with pornography related to this kind of imagery. This is, to me, it looks like he was paid off by the pornographer. It looks to me like there may have been money transferred. It looks to me like the porno industry shopped it to him. It looks to me like this is a case for the FBI, Ted. This is not a case for a judicial ethics board. This is a case for the FBI. The question is whether the Justice Department will order the FBI to look into the email chains and to see if there's any connections between the man on the trial and or people in the porno industry to see if they reached this judge or reached the judge through his through anybody related to the judge to make sure he got the case. But you're outraged by the imagery itself.
I feel like it's a personal attack. I mean, some of the things that were said, that he was sharing those photos. Was he sharing them with Bernie Ward? I mean, look into that kind of stuff. I mean, it's just outrageous. I know.
Ted, you see, I have no power here in the San Francisco area, although I have the most prominent voice in the media. I have a bigger audience than everyone in the media put together here. They pretend I don't exist, Ted. But, you know, you call this show here on the local affiliate because you know that the rest of the country is listening to the program. It's a powerful force, the Savage Nation. And if I brought 100,000 people outside the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, I can guarantee you the FBI would finally have to act. If I even brought 10,000 people clamoring for an FBI investigation, I could make the FBI act, Ted, couldn't I?
Mike, I'd like to see it, but I don't think it'll happen because the FBI, you know, the field agents have supervisors, they have bosses. And
I know, and take a guess who the head of the FBI is. Wonderful man named Robert Mueller. Do you know who was one of his greatest supporters when he was appointed? Barbara Boxer. Barbara Boxer was one of the chief proponents of the head of the FBI's appointment. So I doubt very much whether a judge like this in San Francisco in Boxer's backyard will ever be investigated, Ted. I have no faith in that, in the system anymore. I've lost all my faith in the system. Thank you very much. The time is really not bad right now. We're doing great. It's 28 minutes after the hour. Let's go to Orlando, Florida. Matt, welcome to the program.
Yeah, Mike, I was just curious, being a guy that's interested in getting into radio myself at some point. By the way, you're a big inspiration to me. I'm just curious. I know I've read somewhere that you like to keep your studio setting pretty low-key. And I'm just wondering about your, you know, your typical work routine and how you interact with your producers. Are they there with you? Are they?
No, I work alone. I have four different studios, and I move around day to day depending upon my whims and my, let us say, the winds. I'll tell you more about it when I come back. The winds and the whims.
Savage. God save the queen. The fascist regime that made you a moron. Potential hate bomb. God save the queen.
Up the system. Up the system. It's corrupt and rotten. They're like the fat pig Whig party in England. Just think of the fat pigs who wore white wigs in England, and that's what we have now in the courts. Fat pigs with wigs. Fat pigs with powdered wigs in aristocratic 17th century France. Fat pigs in white wigs wearing garter belts and stockings. Fat pigs in white wigs. Play that music, will you please? Play that music, will you please? Play that music, will you? Will you? Will you? Will you? Will you please? Fat pigs in white wigs. Fat pigs in white wigs. Fat pigs in white wigs. All right, they got the message. I got their attention. The stench from the bench is making me clench. Five radical left-wing psychologically damaged lawyers on the Supreme Court said that enemy combatants being held in Guantanamo deserve the same constitutional protections as you or I do. First of all, there's a precedent which shows they're liars and they're wrong. Kennedy, who led this charge against reality and against survival, the survival of the American people, said that even in extraordinary times, we need to have constitutional protections. He's a fat-out liar. Let me explain to you where I'm getting this from. I remember the case now. It's called Ex Parte Quirin, Q-U-I-R-I-N. Look it up. 1942. It's a Supreme Court of the United States case. It upheld the jurisdiction of a U.S. military tribunal over the trial of several Operation Pastorius German saboteurs in the United States. Now, Quirin, Q-U-I-R-I-N, has been cited as a precedent for the trial by military commission of the unlawful combatants being held at Guantanamo. I will tell you what the decision said in 1942. Here it is. It said, the law of war draws a distinction between the armed forces and the peaceful populations of belligerent nations, and also between those who are lawful and unlawful combatants. Lawful combatants are subject to capture and detention as prisoners of war by opposing military forces. Unlawful combatants are likewise subject to capture and detention, but in addition, they are subject to trial and punishment by military tribunals for acts which render their belligerency unlawful. The spy who secretly and without uniform passes the military lines of a belligerent in time of war, seeking to gather military information and communicate it to the enemy, or an enemy combatant who without uniform comes secretly through the lines for the purpose of waging war by destruction of life or property, are familiar examples of belligerents who are generally deemed not to be entitled to the status of prisoners of war, but to be offenders against the law of war, subject to trial and punishment by military tribunals. Now, this is so important because today, my friends, Justice Kennedy, so-called Justice Ginsburg, Justice Souter, and a few other radical, anti-American, psychopathically crazy liberals said that detainees in Guantanamo have a right to constitutional protections. Again, I cite the case which shows they do not. Back in 1942, the eight men involved in the case were Germans. They had names. They were human beings. They had families. But they came here to kill us. They were Ernest Peter Berger, George John Dash, Herbert Hans Haupt, Heinrich Heink, Edward Keiling, Hermann Neubauer, Richard Kurin, and Werner Thiel. All were born in Germany. By the way, two of them were U.S. citizens, Berger and Haupt. All were born in Germany and all had lived in the United States. Sound familiar to you? All returned to Germany between 33 and 41. After the declaration of war between the United States and the German Reich, they received training at a saboteur school near Berlin where they were instructed in the use of explosives and in methods of secret writing. Berger, Dash, Heink, and Kurin traveled from occupied France by German submarine U-202 to Amagansett Beach, Long Island, New York, landing in the hours of darkness on or about June 13th, 1942. Today is June 12th, 2008, by the way. It's almost psychologically thrilling to be telling you of this story to show you how history is repeating itself. The problem is the problem today is we have psychologically damaged individuals in black robes. In the past, we had liberals who were not psychologically damaged. They understood sanity. They understood survival. These psychopaths need to be put into a mental hospital that we have who did this to us today. That's my editorial. The remaining four Nazis board a German submarine U-584, which carried them from France to Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida. On or about June 17, 1942, they came ashore during the hours of darkness. All eight wore full or partial German uniforms to ensure treatment as prisoners of war, should they be captured on landing. So you see, they knew how to work the system then. The Long Island group was noticed by Coast Guard beach patrolman Frank Cullen, whom Dash attempted to bribe with $260. Cullen returned to his station and sounded the alarm. The two groups promptly disposed of uniforms and proceeded in civilian dress to New York City and Jacksonville, Florida. Shall I continue? And from there to other points in the U.S. All had received instructions in Germany from an officer of the German High Command to destroy war industries and war facilities in the United States, for which they or their relatives in Germany were to receive salary payments from the German government. It's almost chilling in how comparable it is to these Muslims being held in Guantanamo. Upon landing, Dash and Berger turned themselves into the FBI with some difficulty, since the FBI did not believe them immediately. They had to convince the FBI that they were telling the truth, and then the remaining six were taken into custody in New York and Chicago, Illinois. The FBI had no leads until Dash gave his exaggerated and romanticized version in Washington, D.C. Now here it comes. Military tribunal. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt convened a secret military tribunal on July 2, 1942, which sentenced the eight men to death. The president later commuted the death sentences of Dash and Berger to life in prison, as they had both confessed and assisted in capturing the others. Indeed, it was Dash who approached the FBI, offering to turn the men in, which he then did. Berger was part of the plot to turn in the others and cooperated with the FBI extensively. Though all the men confessed and gave full statements, the remaining six were executed by electrocution on August 8, 1942. You see, we had quick justice then. We didn't have psychopaths, drug addicts, and perverts in black robes. They were electrocuted. They were fried August 8, 1942. That was within months, 1 month of the military tribunal. These Gestapo agents were fried. They didn't have little boys from Fordham and little boys that were spoiled by their mommies from NYU. And little boys with law degrees from Harvard and Berkeley going down to defend them. No, they were tried and found guilty and electrocuted. Ladies and gentlemen, let me explain to you that there is a precedent for not granting the detainees at Guantanamo the rights that you and I enjoy. I read you the decision. It was a unanimous opinion in Quirin, Q-U-I-R-I-N. There was some disagreement. Liberals may have disagreed, but the fact of the matter is it is a precedent that should have nullified the action by Kennedy, Souter, Ginsburg, and the other whacked up liberals on the Supreme Court today. Now, the President of the United States today has the power to order the immediate arrest of Justices Kennedy, Souter, Ginsburg, and the others, and put them in prison for sedition. Will George Bush do this? Never. Should George Bush do this? Definitely. The reason he will not do it is because he's afraid of the media. He is afraid of the other drug addicts in the media, the other perverts and fellow travelers in the United States of America, all of whom are seditious, and you know it. I am right. They are wrong. The survival of this nation is at stake. And we must demand that Kennedy, Souter, and Ginsburg be immediately arrested and detained by federal marshals and be put into a federal lockup before they damage this country any further. In addition to that, we must demand that all of these rats in Guantanamo be executed. This is the Savage Nation. You disagree with me? Call me at 1-800-449-8255. Tell me why you disagree with me. Show me what a liberal thinks. I'd like to hear it. Why don't you share it with America right now? Why don't you tell me that tomorrow will be me? I've heard that before. So you're going to say, A, we're not at war. You're going to say, B, there's no country that we're fighting with. You're going to say, C, they weren't wearing a military uniform. I know what you're going to say. That's because your mind has been infected with legalese, not with survival. See, I know how to survive. You know how to lie and how to thrive with your lies. There's a big difference between survival and sanity and survival through insanity. And the only reason you legal rats can survive through insanity is because you perverted and warped the system with judges like Kaczynski. You own the system. I know that. I don't own the system. You own the system. You have planted it. You have stocked it with the distorted fish of our time. So you are just filled with yourself. You know how to shop your cases. You know just where to take your cases to get the results you want. Because right now you're riding high, aren't you? Well, the day may come that you may not be riding high. The day may come that the people themselves will be the ultimate judges. And again, I go back to who will judge the judges. Quies custodiet ipsos custodes. This is Michael Savage. I will take your callers right now. New York, Rick, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Michael. James Madison wrote in the Constitution. Hello?
I'm here.
James Madison wrote in the Constitution that the Arab terrorists in Guantanamo have no rights. He wrote that the privilege of the writ of habeas corpus shall not be suspended except in cases of rebellion or invasion where the public safety shall require it.
Thank you. So we were invaded by these Muslim terrorists. And how do you explain to me that Mr. Cohen of Fordham Law, amongst others, flew down to Guantanamo to defend them? Explain the mentality of Mr. Cohen.
He's a maniac. He can't read the Constitution. It's that plain. That's what it says. Now, Lincoln, as you well know, executed over 20,000 people who resisted the draft in 1863 because they were dangerous to the public safety of the United States and the survival of the United States. There's the precedent, as you well know. If Lincoln could have done that to save the country, why don't we just execute these Arabs?
Because we have a quisling Supreme Court, because they hate America, because they love their liberalism more than they love their country. Or shall I say they love their liberalism and hate their country? Or shall I say they love their liberalism and they hate this country? You decide. I'll be right back. Today is a day that will live in infamy, one of the darkest days in memory. It is a day when the highest court in the land committed one of the lowest possible acts. Mark that down. A day when the highest court in the land committed one of the lowest possible acts, which is to undermine the safety and security of the very country that they're supposed to protect. That is what we are talking about. And, of course, again, my Latin is butchered, but the phrase is important. Quies custodiet ipsos custodes? Who will watch the watchers? Who will guard the guards? Who will judge the judges? The answer is we will judge the judges. Jeff in Houston, Texas, what's your judgment? Have a nice day, Jeff. Enjoy yourself. Tampa, Florida, Rick, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mike, I'm a tugboat captain, and I'd like to tell you that I'm watching them spend $1 billion, the Chinese government, making that Freeport, Bahamas, the largest container port in the eastern side of the Atlantic Ocean. They are moving stuff in there. These containers are unchecked. They have the same equipment being moved down to the Panama Canal. You could hide 100 battalions. Of people down there in those jungles, just like Ho Chi Minh did in Vietnam, and they're just waiting for the extremists to make enough anarchy here in the United States to where they can make a move. They are that close.
Well, Rick, you see, you're a humble tugboat captain who happens to see reality, but our great generals with all the scrambled eggs on their hats, all they see are free trips to golf courses, a fat job after they're retired from their job, and so they see no evil and they hear no evil, Rick. They know which way their junket is buttered.
Well, I heard you make a statement that is absolutely correct. Our government is this two-party system is just to keep the public separated, so we cannot all be one and say, hey, listen, you guys are out of there, and we want this done. It is just like they did in the Roman Empire and Greek. They had the two-party thing just to keep us divided so they could control us. If we all got together, we could kick them all out and say, listen, this is the way it is. And
do you realize that 1,000 mandarins run 300 million people's lives? There's no more than 1,000 people that are running your life and my life. When I say 1,000 mandarins, I'm including not only the judges, not only the Congress, which is only 400 people. I am talking about all of the upper rungs of government. There's only 1,000 mandarins running our lives. Do you know that, Rick?
Well, it is amazing, and I've got to get your books and read them because, like I said, if you've got it down, and just from listening to you on the radio, it is amazing how you've got your finger on the button, and I wish you were the one.
Well, Rick, look, we're ordinary people in many ways. We're average people without any power whatsoever, but we see what danger we're in, and we see who's destroying us and what they're doing to us, whether it be the perverted judge with the porno overseeing a porno trial, whether it be Supreme Court justices who take the side of enemy combatants who came here to harm us or were involved in the 9/11 conspiracy to kill us. Wherever we turn, we see a judiciary at odds with the people themselves. Thank you and bless you for calling Savage Nation. I cannot give any blessings. I am only a humble talk show host, but I give them anyway. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com has these stories. These are such a big story. These are such big stories. This Gitmo ruling, I'm telling you, should cause massive street protests. A million of us should be in the street tomorrow outside the U.S. Supreme Court. It'll never happen. We are disorganized. The two parties are very organized. They have unlimited money. They own the media. And they make it look like they're fighting with each other when, in fact, they're fighting us. Do you understand the game? It's two-card Monty. And we, in fact, are the pea inside the pod. Chicago, Tom, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, I just wanted to say I think that there is an unhealthy and bizarre preoccupation with the law and the mechanics of the law at the expense of the ideals that those frameworks are supposed to protect. And that,
perfectly put.
And you know, because they're less than the ideal, they have loopholes, and I think a lot of legal people take advantage of these loopholes and because they're navigating the law, you know, adeptly, they feel like they are not culpable or ethically.
Well, because they own the courts. Tom, it's not that. They don't care what they do. What they care about is getting over on the average American. What they care about is getting over on the system without any thought as to what damage it may be doing to the system itself. Thank you. I mean, I'm exhausted from thinking about it because I'm a man of action. I could sit here and complain about it, and they know that I can't do anything about it. You can't throw those bums out. Judge Kaczynski says that he's going to let an ethics panel oversee what he did. Are you kidding me? A judicial ethics panel? That would be like having a pornographer say he's going to have a fellow pornographers look into whether or not the pornography he sold in his stores violated the code of ethics of pornographers. The only ethics panel that can oversee Judge Kaczynski would be the FBI. That's the only organization I would trust to investigate whether or not there was any attempt to shop this porno case to Judge Kaczynski. I really don't believe at this point that it wound up in his court by chance. I don't believe that for a moment. I also want to know what codes of ethics were violated, not if, but which codes were violated by Kaczynski not disclosing in advance that he has a proclivity for the very same kind of vile porno that this Ira creature, this rat with a human face, is producing. That's all. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. It is the Savage Nation. There are other stories. I don't think there's anything more important than this. What amazes me is that we have a presidential race going on, and neither of the candidates will discuss the case that came down today. They won't discuss the Chief Justice of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals being caught in a porno case, being a porno watcher. They won't discuss any of the things going on around us. They're talking about rubbish, about things that we're not interested in, as though it matters. Now, I've told you from the beginning this whole thing is smoke and mirrors. I told you it's all dust in your eyes.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Today is a day that will live in infamy, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, because America's highest court committed one of its lowest acts ever in a astonishing reversal of sanity. Five radical liberals, that those would be Kennedy, Breyer, Ginsburg, Souter, and Stevens, said that Arab Muslims detained at Guantanamo have rights which they do not have, granted them rights which they do not have, and said that they can go to civilian courts for their trials. Now, who did this to us? There should be an enemies list kept in the United States of America, and you should be writing down these names. Write down these names. They are on the enemies list, the enemy of your survival. Now, I realize that some of you are going to take offense at what I said, but this is way beyond opinion at this point. They're putting me in grave danger. They're putting you in grave danger. Celebrations are no doubt going off across the Islamo-fascist front, because they could not have done better than having Kennedy, Breyer, Ginsburg, Souter, and John Paul Stevens on their side. But who actually brought the cases before Kennedy, Breyer, Ginsburg, Souter, and Stevens? Which fellow travelers with the Islamo-fascist juggernaut brought these cases to the Supreme Court? I will quote for you some of the names. The head of the New York-based, quote, Center for Constitutional Rights, which represents dozens of these Islamo-fascists at Guantanamo, said the following. He said the Supreme Court has finally brought an end to one of our nation's most egregious injustices, said CCR Director Vincent Warren. Now, Vincent Warren has long worked for the ACLU, but they set up a new shop under a new name called the Center for Constitutional Rights. It's an offshoot of the radical, anti-American, people-hating ACLU. He went on, Mr. Warren, and said, by granting the writ of habeas corpus, the Supreme Court recognizes a rule of law established hundreds of years ago and essential to American jurisprudence since our nation's founding. He's a liar. He's a phony. He is a seditious SOB who should be arrested, because there is a case precedent that proves this man to be the fundamental liar that I'm saying he is. The case precedent is Quirin, Q-U-I-R-I-N, which I read to you in the last hour. This is an astonishing defeat for your safety. An astonishing defeat for your safety. Now, why would a man like this do this to us? Why would a man named Vincent Warren want to free Islamo-fascists? Who is he? Well, he spent 7 years as national senior staff attorney with the ACLU, where he led national constitutional and impact litigation to advance civil rights and civil liberties. He was a big supporter of affirmative action in college admissions. He is a leading African-American voice for affirmative action. He has collaborated with the African-American Policy Forum to launch a national public education project to remedy systemic discrimination. He also litigated Dasrath versus Continental Airlines on behalf of plaintiffs removed from an airplane shortly after 9/11 because they were perceived to be Arab or Muslim. Mr. Vince coordinated the ACLU's Hurricane Katrina response team. He established the ACLU Native American Working Group to advance civil rights in the Dakotas. He chaired the New York Indigent Defense Litigation Roundtable to defend homeless bums in the streets. He has worked for the Legal Aid Society in Brooklyn. His so-called public service includes working as a judicial law clerk in the U.S. District Court in New York. He has monitored the Truth and Reconciliation Commission hearings in South Africa under the auspices of the National Lawyers Guild. Now, how many times have I told you that the ACLU and the National Lawyers Guild are seditious enemies of America? How many years have I warned you they needed to be rounded up and detained themselves? You never thought they'd have this power, did you? You never thought that they could free Islamofascists from Guantanamo, did you? Well, I'm warning you that things are far worse than even you can imagine. If you could understand the far-reaching implications of what happened today, I think that you'd be going to your local gun store. Missouri guy, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. My concern is for the soldiers. You know, are they going to have to get a warrant? Are they going to...
I can guarantee you that this fine, upstanding American gentleman that I just quoted, who did this to us, one of the men who did it to us, he was by no means alone, would gladly prosecute our war heroes for doing their jobs. I can guarantee it as I'm standing here.
Our military's hands. You know, they're going to be...
That's what they want to do. They want to become the military themselves. They are a left-wing dictatorship. Unfortunately for us, they have fellow travelers in the form of Souter, Ginsburg, Kennedy, and the other on the Supreme Court. I don't have the power to do what the president could do. He could follow Lincoln's machinations, and he could arrest the Supreme Court justices today. He could have them arrested by federal marshals. Wouldn't that be a great day, Guy? How would you feel if the president said, the court has ruled, now let them enforce, and he sent U.S. marshals to arrest Kennedy, Souter, Ginsburg, and the other left-wing rats who have been doing this to us for 20 to 30 years now? Would you celebrate today? Would you raise the American flag and say, let freedom ring? I would.
Of course I would, but they need to construct gallows, not arrest them.
I have no comment. In radio, we do not kill. We only talk. Next up, the history of Islamic anti-Semitism for all of you Jewish lawyers out there. From the left-wing radicals that the hatred they have for the Jews is a 20th century phenomenon fueled by the Arab-Israeli conflict. But our next guest, Dr. Andrew G. Bostom, has done quite a bit of historical research into this. He says that it goes back much, much further than that. It goes back to times before this conflict. And he's written a book on this entitled The Legacy of Islamic Antisemitism. Dr. Bostom, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks very much for having me on.
Well, what did you learn while researching your book?
There is a very common, unfortunately common, misperception about anti-Semitism in Islam, that it is somehow an entirely borrowed phenomenon, which is to be seen primarily, sometimes exclusively, through the prism of Nazism and the Holocaust and the tragic legacy of Judeophobic Christian traditions from Europe or the protocols of the Elders of Zion from Tsarist Russia. This is entirely fallacious. There is a virulent strain of anti-Semitism that is intrinsic to Islam that dates from its very advent. And it is Quranic in origin. It is amplified in what are called the Hadith, which are the words and deeds of Muhammad as recorded by his companions. And then the earliest pious Muslim biographies of Muhammad, which are called the Sirah. These foundational texts of Islam are virulently anti-Semitic.
Give us an example of this.
I can illustrate this briefly by, of course, you can just go to memory and cite some of the common sermons that you hear. But for example, Palestinian cleric Wael al-Zarad, during a TV program which aired on Al-Aqsa TV on February 28th, said the following about the Jews of Israel. He says, from the dome of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, they proclaim Ezra the scribe is the son of God. And reference to Ezra is actually a false and intentionally defamatory Quranic accusation against Jews, Quran 9:30, citing a claim which Jews, in fact, have never made. But the crux of his remarks that day was that the Muslims' blood vengeance against the Jews, he says, quote, will only subside with their, the Jews, annihilation, Allah willing, because they tried to kill our prophet several times. And this is the key feature. These allegations are part of a central anti-Semitic motif in the Quran, which decrees an eternal curse upon the Jews. And this is Quran 261. So verse, surah or chapter 2, verse 61, and it's reiterated at 3.1.12. And this curse upon the Jews is for their alleged slaying the prophets and transgressing against the will of Allah. And this central motif from Quran 261, 3.1.12 is featured in the preamble to Hamas's foundational covenant. It's literally one of the first things that you see when you read their covenant. And it's amplified. It's coupled to Quranic verses 560 and 578, which describe the Jews' transformation into apes and swine. That's 560, or simply apes, 265 and 7166, having been, quote, cursed by the tongue of David and Jesus, Mary's son. And that's verse 578. And Muhammad himself repeats this Quranic curse in a canonical hadith. How anyone in their right mind who reads this literature seriously, and not just the verbatim words, but then the Quranic gloss on this by the greatest Quranic commentators, how anyone could claim that there's not theological anti-Semitism in Islam, as has been the claim, is just beyond belief to me.
Where does this continued misconception over Israel causing it and the radicals come from?
Gosh, I guess many years of Balderized history and whitewashing and apologetics for Islam and based on, you know, some real politic concerns about oil to anti-Semitism to you name it. At this point, you know, I like to point out the following. As far back as 1786, there was a jihad being waged against the United States. At a time when we didn't even have a navy, we just had commercial vessels that were trying to trade with parts of the world, including the Mediterranean, and they were attacked by the by what are known as the Barbary pirates. But they were jihadists from North Africa, and so two of our ambassadors, who would become presidents, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, through the intervention of England, met an ambassador from Tripolitania, which would be now modern Libya. And this Muslim ambassador explained to them very clearly, because they were baffled, why are our ships being attacked? We don't even have a navy. We just want to trade. And he said, because it was their Quranic injunction to wage jihad against the infidel, and that the lives and property of these sailors were licit, and because they were not under the jurisdiction of Islamic law, and that Muslims who attacked and killed them could be martyred. This was a divine and extolled obligation of theirs. So 162 years before the creation of Israel, there was a jihad being waged against the United States, which obviously had nothing to do with the creation of Israel.
Well, where did you get all this information from?
That's actually quite interesting. You know, what I discovered in doing some of this research, first of all, the sacred texts are available to everybody. In the Muslim sacred texts are available. The Quran, the Hadith, the Sirah are available and have been available for decades now in very well-vetted English translations, most of them done by pious Muslims or Western converts to Islam. So those are the central sources. But the secondary sources that I use, this is actually an interesting story. There were great Jewish scholars, going back as far as the late 19th century. Hartwig Hirschfeld wrote an incredible essay in French on Muhammad's interactions with the Jews of Medina. But from the mid-1880s till my book, it was never available in English. And I made this available in English. And perhaps an even more important essay is a magisterial essay of 70 pages, 200 references by Georges Vaida, which was published in 1937, again in French. It is the most comprehensive assessment of the rather virulently anti-Semitic motifs in the Hadith, and this, too, had never been made available in English. So one of the basic things that I have done for an English-reading, English-speaking audience is bring together great scholarship and make it available in its entirety for people. They can judge it the way I've judged it, or they can judge it differently. But it's there for them. In my long introductory survey, which is about 170 pages itself, I present this information from my perspective. But people are free to choose their own perspective on it. So a lot of what I've done here is uncover, I think, great scholarship that was under-recognized, but, you know, suppressed, whatever. But it's there, and it's very, very clear.
Well, Christianity and Judaism were able to reform from a stricter, more violent interpretation to what we see today. Do you see Islam being able to do the same? Is there a chance we can all get along?
Well, okay. Look, hope springs eternal. I think that's Milton. But it's not going to happen. Unfortunately, the real wrenching changes in Christianity, and of course there's a fundamental difference in the relationship between Christianity and Judaism relative to the relationship between Islam and Judaism and Christianity, on the other hand. So there's less potential with regard to Muslim reform on that basis alone. However, if we are to look at what took place with, and I would cite Vatican II, unfortunately, it took the horrors of the Holocaust to really put forth fundamental changes in teaching of the deicide allegation and real implementation. On the other hand, the progress, Mel Gibson aside, has been dramatic and has been serious by the Roman Catholic Church, and it's spread outward to non-Catholic denominations. So in theory, there is this sort of paradigm. But the problem, I think, really stems more, I think Maimonides identified the problem 850 years ago with regard to the Jews and Islam. I think he made this profound observation. He says in his epistle to the Jews of Yemen, he identifies this profound tendency for Jews to engage in denial, a feature that he insists is going to hasten their destruction. And here's what he says. He says, "We have acquiesced, both old and young, to inure ourselves to humiliation. All this notwithstanding, we do not escape this continued maltreatment by Muslims, which well nigh crushes us. No matter how much we suffer and elect to remain at peace with them, they stir up strife and sedition." Now, honestly, reading this, 850 years later, I feel, he's being a little bit harsh. I mean, living under Islamic rule in the Middle Ages, the Jews were vanquished by jihad, they're isolated, they're nearly defenseless under this repressive system of what's called dhimmitude, so you can excuse them for their submissive denial. What I find now unacceptable, there's no such excuse in our era, given the existence of an autonomous Jewish state of Israel, a thriving Western Jewish diaspora which lives under the blanket of hard-won protections for religious freedom, physical security, and dignity. And yet we're still, as the Jewish community, by and large, is still in a state of denial about this and wants to pretend that this is all a modern phenomenon related to, the so-called pernicious Nazi influence on the Islamic world, particularly the Arab world. This is sheer nonsense. And until Jews, demand a mea culpa about this institutionalized hatred, it's not going to go away.
Dr. Boston, thank you for being on The Savage Nation.
Thanks for having me on. It's been wonderful being on with you.
Savage.
People are trying to silence Michael Savage. That's me. I need your help. It's a big battle, a legal battle. The opposition has unlimited funds. I don't. Will you please go to michaelsavage.com, contribute $5, $10, $1,000, $10,000. You'll notice that you can contribute to the Legal Defense Fund under a new address. The mail goes to the Michael Savage. That's if a check, a money order, cash. Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. Thank you for helping protect freedom of speech. Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. And God bless you for helping protect freedom of speech. Homeschooling has been under attack for years by the teachers' unions, school administrators, the government, of course, the media. And now they're being slighted by a fast food sandwich shop chain. Ned Barnett is a political strategist. He is the owner of Barnett Marketing Communications in Las Vegas, and he has recently written an article on this subject. Ned Barnett, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on today.
Give us some details on Subway's new promotion. What's the problem here?
Subway recently launched a school essay contest for grade school students, designed really from a marketing and public relations perspective to enhance their brand, to get people to want to go to Subway and to feel good about them. I mean, that's the only reason any company would do something like this. But they specifically excluded homeschooled students from this. Now, there are roughly 3 million homeschooled students in America. That means that between parents and grandparents, you've got a direct audience of at least 5 million people who could be potentially offended by that. And the secondary market, people who know and care about this, you're probably talking about 10 million American adults who could be negatively affected by this. What apparently they didn't realize is that homeschoolers feel very much under assault. You've probably heard about the recent California court ruling that says parents can't homeschool, or maybe you heard about how Tennessee has said that homeschool degrees are no longer acceptable for people who want to be policemen, firemen, social workers, daycare workers, or anybody employed by or licensed by the state. So they feel under attack, and they feel defensive and sensitive.
Well, why do they feel that way?
Well, the simple reason is that school districts get paid federal tax money and state tax money based on the number of children who attend school on any given day. So if you've got a homeschool student not in school, they're at home, the school district never gets that money, and they feel entitled to it. They think that that every student in their area is theirs, and they should get all that money. They budget that way, and so homeschoolers represent a threat. The teachers union feels the same way, and are, for one time, the administration and the teachers unions are allied, because with 3 million kids out of school and being educated at home, if you assume a classroom size of 30, that means 100,000 union teachers are theoretically out of work. Now, nationally, we have a teacher shortage, so that's not the case, but that doesn't bother them because it's the principal. They want to be able to control the teaching of every student in America. They want to be able to fill them with their, you know, blame America first mindset and all the other things that they like to do. And it's a matter of control and money. And so you're going to find people opposing them for exercising the freedom to parents have to raise their children and educate their children the way they want.
This isn't Subway's first major advertising blunder, is it?
No. Back 4 years ago, December of 2004, Congressman Tom DeLay got up in the well of this House and showed a Subway ad that ran in Germany, which made fun of America. It showed a grossly overweight Statue of Liberty, and it talked about how obese Americans were and how addicted we were to fast food and things like that. This was a Subway co-promotion to help launch a movie in Germany called Supersize Me, which also showed in the States. It's supposed to be a documentary. It's more along the lines of what you might call a crocumentary. It was entertainment pretending to be something real, and it had a strong political agenda against America's freedom to eat what they want. Anyway, who's an American company making fun of America in Germany in a time when we're at war, and it just didn't sit well with a lot of people. And the result was they lost a lot of business. And if you look at Quiznos, their biggest competitor, in December of 2004, they were a blip on the radar screen. Now they're huge. Because marketing and public relations is my profession, I've looked into it, and I believe that the Subway boycott in December 2004 is the reasons that Quiznos got so big. I'll be interested to see if they have another big hit now as homeschooling parents around America say, I don't want to eat at Subway anymore.
Well, what was their reason for this ban?
They say that because the first prize is $5,000 worth of sporting goods equipment to the student's school, that they weren't ready to give it to individuals. That's kind of bogus, because they could have said that the student who won, if it was a homeschool student, had to give it to a school or to a church or to a community organization. And it shows a profound ignorance of homeschooling as well, because the homeschoolers, because they're excluded from school athletics, they've created their own athletic organizations. Once a week, all across America, homeschool students go and play sporting events to help them have physical education as well as a mental education. And these kids are some of the best in the country. They are scouted by colleges for basketball and football and baseball routinely. Right now, there's a homeschooler who's over in Europe winning fencing competitions, and he went through this athletic program. Now, the parents pay every penny of that. They would welcome a $5,000 donation of equipment. So they could have received it, not for the individual, but for the organization. But Subway didn't bother to find out.
Well, what makes it even more ironic is the main sponsor is that they cater to homeschoolers.
The co-sponsor is Scholastic News Service, which sells an awful lot of teaching materials to the homeschoolers. I think that they were not aware that there was a homeschool ban. Actually, this is Subway's contest, and they were just tied in with it. When it was pointed out to them, they immediately went to some homeschool blogs and published a very official apology saying they didn't know it, they're very sorry about it, and they will take actions to make sure it never happens again. Whereas Subway, for 5 or 6 days, just sat around and did nothing. They published a very tepid kind of apology that is not likely to ease the anger of homeschool parents.
Well, what do you think will happen from here?
Well, there's one of two possibilities. Either Subway knew what they were doing, that there were people in the leadership of Subway who wanted to specifically exclude homeschool for a reason. They had a wife, a daughter, a mother who was a school teacher. They bought into that no homeschooling concept, and they weren't intending to do it, in which case they'll say, okay, well, we took a hit. Let's find a better way of excluding them in the future. Or they were just blinded to it, and they'll go, oh, my gosh, we really screwed up here. And then they'll try to go and have contests that include homeschool kids and try to win back a reputation that's been deeply tarnished. What they're not doing, and I think they should have done, is to immediately announce a parallel contest for homeschoolers only and say, we'll give the same prizes on the same criteria, but this one is just for homeschoolers because we messed up and we want to give you the same chance we gave the other kids. But they didn't do that.
Yeah, that would be the common sense answer.
Yeah, they said sometime in the future they'll have a contest that will include homeschoolers with other kids, and that's not going to make the homeschool market, which is a highly politicized market because they have to be so defensive all the time. It's not going to make that go away for them. They're going to remember, and they're going to stay angry.
Ned Barnett, thank you for being on the Savage Nation.
Thanks for having me on, Michael. I really enjoyed it.
Savage.
We roll into the last minutes of this hour in the Savage Nation. Here's some stories that, should further confirm the fall of Rome. Ringleader of body parts scheme apologizes. The mastermind behind a multi-million dollar scheme to loot hundreds of corpses and sell their body parts apologized today to families of the victims and thousands of tissue recipients. So let's say you had a tooth implant or a skin graft. Came from a corpse, stolen from the corpse by Michael Mastro Marino, a former dentist, oral surgeon, who owned Biomedical Tissue Services. He told victims of the scheme he was sorry for the pain and grief he caused. The New Jersey company shipped bones, skin, and tendons to tissue processors. Oof, God. God in heaven. God in heaven. Now, Anthony Dumain of Brooklyn, whose father's body was plundered, questioned the sincerity of Mastro Marino's apology. He says, I don't feel like that was from his heart, Dumain said outside the courtroom. In March, Mastro Marino admitted he ran the macabre operation from 01 to 05. He pled guilty to charges of whatever. Three others who worked at Mastro Marino's medical firm were charged, as were funeral home directors in New York, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. Wait, here comes the punchline. Remember years ago there was a show, Masterpiece Theater, with the urbane Alistair Cook? Bingo. His body was also carved up without permission and was not medically screened. And pieces of Alistair Cook were sold around the country for dental implants, knee and hip replacements, and other procedures. About 10,000 people received tissue supplied by Mr. Mastro Marino's company. So if you find yourself moving into a sort of anglicized accent, even though you're from Brooklyn, it could be because you have Alistair Cook's tissue in your teeth. After the hearing, Mario Gallucci, Mastro Marino's lawyer, said his client felt the full force and effect of what he did after listening to victims speak. This reminds me of a play called The Doctor and the Devils. We are really devolving rapidly. God, a dentist sets up a company and steals pieces of corpses. God, please. I mean, I'm missing teeth, but I've always resisted dental implants. For some reason, some instinct in me said, no, I don't think so. Because what if I had gotten Alistair Cook's tissue? Could have been his anal tissue put into my gum. What do I know what he sold? There would be no guarantee that it would be Alistair Cook's oral tissue. What if it was a piece of his anus that they sold to somebody for a dental implant? You got to laugh. You got to have a sense of humor. You go totally insane in this business. Wait, it gets better. I got another story for you in the waning moments of this show. Here's a better one on the Savage Nation. Suicides follow child pornography prosecutions. They already got out the brigade, the cabal. Dan Levine in The Recorder, a legal journal, wrote an article sympathetic to child pornographers. They got out the cabalas that are operating now. Suicides follow child pornography prosecutions. I wonder how a story like this gets planted in a legal journal. So Dan Levine writes and he says, defendants who keep child pornography on their computers make tempting and easy targets for federal prosecutors. And he says that the number of suicides amongst these people is way up. It says now the psychological weight of child porn prosecutions on family members, lawyers, judges, and defendants and so on, is beginning to emerge. Well, it's emerging for Dan Levine and his fellow travelers because they're all part of the same cabal. To make us feel sympathy for child pornographers, Dan? Dan, you really are skating on thin ice, Dan. Dan, you on thin ice, Dan. Dan, the cracker is not that stupid, Dan. Dan, the cracker, he ain't that stupid, Dan. Dan, the cracker, he know you work for the pornographer. Dan, the cracker, he suspect that you're sympathetic to him. And Dan, I wouldn't write any more of these articles if I were you, Dan. And then he quotes lawyers who work for the child porn people, and he says, they quote a lawyer who says, I'm not surprised the numbers of suicides are up. Says a former federal prosecutor who now works for the defense, and she says, it's a devastating thing to be exposed, and you're publicly shamed. She said, we would go to great effort to keep the victims' names out, but defendants' names are right there in the newspaper all the time. So what they're trying to do is now pass laws to keep out the names of the defendants of child pornography cases. Get it? They're the innocent victims, not the children, not the child who is molested and used in these pictures. No, it's the poor man who is accused who's the victim. Now, you've heard of Alice in Wonderland, haven't you? You're now living purely in an Alice in Wonderland world because the sex maniacs and the drug addicts have taken over not only the media but also the legal profession. And the article goes on, it says, the suicides are a pressing issue for magistrate judges who must decide whether to remand defendants once they are arraigned. Oh, what a pressure on the poor judge. They add emotional baggage for defense lawyers who already may not be enthusiastic about the subject matter they must delve into. Ah, now we go on. Finally, the suicides present an overlay of grief for the defendant's family members who already grapple with feelings of disbelief and betrayal following an indictment. Now he concludes here, and here it comes. Ex-radio host Bernie Ward attempted to mount a First Amendment challenge, arguing he had child pornography in connection with a book project. But his lawyer ultimately aborted that defense, and Ward intends to plead guilty. While his lawyer would not discuss Ward's case because sentencing is still pending, and generally said the law is strict. So there it is. So now they're trying to argue that the defendants in child pornography cases should be shielded from the public. Because you, the average cracker schmuck out there, shouldn't know who is taking little children and putting them in dirty pictures. You should feel bad for the person who trades in this kind of thing, argues the legal vermin, because, well, they're just victims of their own illness. It's an illness, child pornography. They're poor people. They can't help themselves. Now, of course, I have a different take on this. I think that anybody who exploits children in this manner should be wrapped up in a burlap bag after their hands are tied with electric cord. And once they're given a fair trial, they should be put in a burlap bag with a rat, a mad dog, a snake, a tarantula, and a tin can and thrown into the nearest lake or river. And I think that would be the proper way to eliminate child pornography in the United States of America. Then we wouldn't have to worry about suicides amongst child pornographers, would we? It would tend to limit the number of folks who might go down that road of endeavor. You know, they may imagine that if they got caught, instead of spending a cushy life in a prison with book deals and liberals crying outside with candles, just think about an ending like that. Your hands are tied up with electrical cord behind your back. You're put into a burlap bag with a rat, a mad dog, maybe even a snake, some kind of poisonous snake, and a tarantula. The bag is then closed, and you are then drugged in the back of a pickup truck to a lake, a river, a stream, or a bay. And as the crowds cheer, you are thrown into that body of water to end your few moments that are left on earth, contemplating what you did to that little child. That would tend to put a chill. It would have a chilling effect on the child pornography business, wouldn't you think? I'm here to shock you into understanding how far gone we are, that we're supposed to have sympathy for child pornographers. Are you crazy? We're supposed to have sympathy for Islamo-fascist rats who not only plotted to kill us, but some of them were involved in the 9/11 case, 9/11 travesty. And yet, Mr. Cohen of Fordham Law and some other wonderful, fair-minded liberals spent years now trying to get sympathy for the devil. And with a little help from Ginsburg, Souter, Kennedy, and God knows what other name on the Supreme Court, they have won. They're going to be freed. They'll go back to Afghanistan or Krapistan and plot to kill you again. And they just might succeed. And when they do succeed, what will the wonderful Justice Kennedy say then? What happens if one of them are caught after another attack? What will Ruth Bader Ginsburg or Mr. Souter have to say for himself then? Tell me. I want you to play for me. I want you to get Sympathy for the Devil, because that's going to be the song on the out of the Savage Nation. I have time for one more call. Rebecca, San Francisco, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I think my statement will segue beautifully with what you just said. I want you to shock the conscience of conservatives, of liberals, of the complacent Americans that are walking our land now. And I want you to get your...
They're not complacent. They've been brainwashed by 30 years of an educational system that is right out of the playbook of communist China. It is a playbook that has destroyed an entire generation that can no longer think for itself. All it wants is pointy shoes and an orgasm. That's why a rotten movie like Sex and the City would be of such appeal to stupid girls.
So this is what I'm asking you to do.
There's nothing more I can say. Massachusetts Governor Proud, his daughter's gay. Can someone explain to me what he's proud of? L.A. obscenity trial halted after Judge Kinsine's own website had sex images. MichaelSavage.com has all these stories and more. Supreme Court backs Guantanamo murderers. Listen and puke.